Hey everybody, it's Maylee Thomas. It's time for Texas Homegrown Music, and I've got Tom Sless in the studio this time. So he brought his guitar. We're going to have him play some songs for you off of his new record he's got coming out in September called Heartland Ballerina, but he's got a couple singles out there now called Empty Seat, Staring Down Death that we'll be playing as well. So I don't want to take up too much time. I want to get to it very quickly. Before I do, though, I'm going to do a song for you called Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. And this is a fun song I thought maybe some of you might want to hear. And we'll be right back with Tom Sless right here on Texas Homegrown Music.
Your lips move and I can hear you talking. It's a hollow sound like a bullhorn squawking. All about you, don't you get bored? Don't you ever get tired of hearing your own voice? Sure, sometimes it's a bad mood too, but I slap myself. Hey, how about you? I was thinking you could use a good slapping too. Hey, how about now? Everybody said yeah. Hearing the wind, it was howling in a little tin can. So I picked it up and held it to my ear. I heard the voice of God saying, "No ocean in here." And that's the first darn thing I heard all day long. Made any sense at all? It makes no sense at all. And everybody said, "Yeah."
Everybody, we're back with my guest, Tom Sless. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Maylee.
I've been looking forward to this because, you know, I've had your compadre, Tim Lightyear on.
Yeah, best friend, producer.
Yeah, and he's a big fan of yours, obviously. It sounds like it's kind of a bromance.
Kind of, you know. I mean, he does have a wife, but we kind of get in between
that's
us.
That's all right. You know, there's nothing like bro love.
Okay? Shout out Tay. She's great.
But I'm excited about this show because you've got a new record coming out. And of course, I listened to the other one, and so this is the second record for you, right?
Yeah, second full length.
And right here in Dallas.
Produced it at Tim's studio out in Oak Cliff, where he was located at the time. He just moved over to his new studio in Royce City and used mostly people from the Fort Worth DFW kind of area to perform on it, and it was a great experience. Tim and I met down the Stockyards one night after doing a show together, like a little song swap, and hit it off.
Really? When was that?
That must have been, we've looked for the exact date, but it was something like April 2022. Like, okay. It was not, I mean, it feels like way longer ago because we've gotten so close, but it was just a random occurrence. We both ended up on the song swap on the same stage, and I'm like looking over my left and being like, who is this guy playing these songs, playing guitar like that? And I guess the feeling was a little bit mutual. Yeah. I don't know. He might have just been looking for work.
No. He told me. You know, it's kind of cool because obviously, being an artist myself, I can say this. It's really tough because everybody thinks that if you do a show together or if you're honest, if you're on the same ticket, that you guys automatically are hanging out and get to see and visit. But it's not how it is at all. Now, a song swap is a little different because you're on the stage together.
Yeah, and you get to kind of jam on each other's songs. There was definitely once or twice where we kind of gave a look to each other like, hey, you want to take a solo on my song or, you know, on his song or something like that. And those kind of moments, I think, helped because we didn't talk much before we got on the stage. We said hello. Did the show, and then it was after the show was over where we really connected and talked a lot about just making music and our influences and, you know, background and all that stuff.
And you guys just were very similar. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, I told the story to Tim a couple months ago, but it's like I was at that point, he kind of met me at this time where I was like trying to get serious about finding a producer for this record. I had been meeting people around Texas, and I just was trying to like, okay, find the right studio. So I was in the mindset of looking for someone, but as soon as I met him and then we scheduled to meet like a week or so later at his house just to continue the conversation, you know, I told him I was doing my due diligence and have to get back to him. But I was really like, this is the guy.
Sitting there inside going, this is the dude.
Yeah. And it was one and done. Like I had plans to maybe check out some other studios. But Tim and I met at the time where I was just looking. I was like, that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, and you know, when you listen to his music, I'm sure you had to feel this way. It's so authentic to who he is.
Yeah, and I could feel it on the stage because he's playing his songs, and I could just sense who he was as a creator in general.
Yeah, and so he basically says that's how he likes to look at the artist when he's producing him. And that's what a good producer does, is he brings out the best in you. And instead of... And I say this, and I gotta say it loosely, because in case there's some producers out there listening to me, I understand that we want your input, but what we really want you to do is bring out the best in us.
Absolutely.
Right? And
it's tough because music is a very vast language.
It's subjective. You know?
It's so subjective. And like, you know, you work with people who just speak a different dialect of influence, you know, and they come up with different ideas. And that can be great to come up with something really new. But I think what spoke to me most with working with Tim was that we just kind of understood where we each came from musically. Obviously express each other in different ways. His songs and my songs have a different feel, but we could communicate our ideas in a way that didn't feel like there was any hurdles between them. And that got us to places faster than I think we might have. And allowed us, if things weren't coming quickly, allowed us to be sure that it was going to work in our favor because we just had to keep going at it. We weren't like butting heads. We weren't, you know, talking past each other. It was just about, well, we just got to keep chasing whatever that spark is together.
Well, you know, it's funny because I think I just told you that my husband and I saw the movie One Love, and it was interesting how they were showing the guys in the studio. And it feels like that's kind of how it worked, you know, where you've got, you know, obviously you have him say, you know, giving them an idea where he wants to go, but also allowing them the freedom to add to it and make it better. And, you know, that's just the key behind feeling good in the studio. And I have struggled with it for years because I think part of it is not feeling as, I don't know, proficient in the studio. You know, because I've been in there a lot. I understand what they're doing, but I don't understand what they're doing.
Sure. And I mean, that's what was cool about this experience, too, is like I have a little bit of DAW experience. You know, I have been around Logic a bit and have produced a couple of records before this one. So I've seen Pro Tools in action.
Right.
So I kind of picked up some things. But like as we got going, our rapport got to the point where, you know, he could go cut something and I could be the one engineering it. Or if, you know, our favorite guy, Ryan Glenn, was there doing engineering.
Oh, I love
we could
Ryan.
Just, yeah. The three of us could all just like kind of sit in different chairs at any time and rotate around. And that just kept the juices flowing. It didn't feel like one person had to kind of always be picking up the slack. It was just like kind of rotating around the idea and allowing it to breathe in his room. And that's the way Tim produces, too. He's very much a songs first producer where it's not about getting you in and out the door to get a record done. It's like, have we made the song as fully expressed as possible? If not, we're not done. You know, unfortunately for the bottom line, it's like Tim's much more about getting the right decisions made and getting everyone on board than about just, you know, hey, clock's ticking, you better
get on out. That's a beautiful thing, I tell you, because I'm a lot older than you, and when I started out, it was like you paid for the day, and it was a lot of money, and so you felt pressured to get a lot done. And it's so nice to have these people that have studios in their homes, and my husband's built a few of them in people's houses. It's so much nicer, more relaxed when you go in there and you know you're not up against the time clock.
Yeah, and believe me, but Tim was worth every penny either way, though, and I know with his new place it's going to be even bigger and better.
It sounds like he's on track for a really killer studio out in Royce City, by the way. So if you guys are listening and you're an artist and you want somebody really kick-ass to do your record, call Tim Lightyear, and the name of the studio, I can't remember.
Cosmic Mama.
Cosmic, yeah.
I also love that. We were in the car together when we kind of got to that name, and I was just, I think it was kind of his idea. I was riffing. I'm a riffer. I like to riff.
Yeah,
but we got to that name, and I love it. I just love that. It totally embodies, I think, what his vibe is going to be at that place, and what his vibe was at the last place. But now that it's his own studio, it just feels good.
And just to remind you, cats out there that are listening, so Tim was the guitar player for Shane Smith and the Saints for years. And I mean, this dude can play, and he can sing, and he
Do
can produce,
all.
Obviously, and he can write, and it's just a wonderful thing to have this a community you guys have out there.
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
It sounds like, you know, kind of a little bit like I had Scott Sean White on earlier, and he's from Poetry, and there's a lot of his friends that are out there. It sounds like you guys got this whole little community going. This music community started out in Royce City, so.
Yeah, there's a good cast of characters out there.
Yeah, so, let's talk about this record, Heartland Ballerina. We're going to play Empty Seat. You want to give us a little background on that?
Yeah, it was one of the earlier songs that I wrote. I wrote it just as I was getting on the road for the first, like, longer than a week trip. We'll probably talk about the Van Hudson a little bit later on. But I was going down to Florida, and only, like, 6 hours into the drive, I was already feeling like, damn, it would be nice to have another person with me on this trip, experiencing this, like, new horizons with me as I was going down to Key West all the way from Texas for the first time.
Oh, wow. And that's a nice little drive, dude.
Yeah. And so it came to me on that trip, and we released it during this last trip I had to Key West just 2 years, almost to the day later. And it kind of felt appropriate just to bring it back to where it took its first form. And we shot the music video down there, too.
I bet you loved Key West.
I do love Key West in the present tense.
I'm saying, I could just tell by your vibe, that's probably a really good area for you. And, you know, I'm a beach girl myself. I was born in here in Texas, but I grew up in an area called Pensacola Beach.
Yeah,
Panama City and all that, all along that Emerald Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And I
Forgotten
can just
coast.
Tell, yeah, I can just tell you got kind of that vibe. So we'll have to talk about that and about
Absolutely.
Your influences. I haven't really gotten that from far with you yet. But,
sure.
But I'm really here to talk about this new record you've got coming out. He's going to be dropping singles as we go. He's got two of them out there now, Empty Seats and Staring Down Death, which was out in March, early March. So, and you got another one coming out in April we'll talk about. But right now we're going to play this first single off of this new record called Empty Seat. And I don't think you'll have an empty seat for long, dude. I just feel like, you know, you got love coming for sure.
There's love all around, you know. Yeah,
you know?
I'm sure.
Yeah, I believe so. So we're going to play it right now by Tom Sless right here on Texas Homegrown Music with yours truly, Maylee Thomas, and we'll be right back.
Southbound backwoods, Mississippi. Left turns, birthdays, I've been missing friends back home. We don't talk much, we all got phones and still lost touch. Migrate, drive straight, getting colder. Threads frayed, dams break, hearts wander. Writing fake names in my songs till the right one comes along. Changing lanes, state highways. Sadly sighing, an empty seat, chasing far away horizons, flying no co-pilot. No adventure feels complete, sat beside an empty seat. I hear them say,
you can't complain, you chose a lifestyle.
But since since when did we give up on being wild and free? Nowhere to be. Settling down ain't got what we need. No, why should that mean I die alone? I bet somewhere on the road a girl's getting lost intentionally, keeping one eye out for me. Changing lanes, state highways, sat beside an empty seat, chasing far away horizons, flying no co-pilot. No adventure feels complete, sat beside an empty seen dolphins roaming past. I know someday, oh someday, I'll see her somewhere out there. Changing lanes on state highways, sat beside an empty seat, chasing far.
Hey guys, we're back, and now you know what I'm talking about with Tom. I mean, the dude is gifted. I love your vibe. I like your sound, and I love that you have this group of people that you feel so at home with. But let's talk about this home thing, because I think you're a home on the road, aren't you?
Pretty much at this point. I mean, I did move to Fort Worth and lived, rented a place. My parents were here at the time when I got here late 2020, but since then, I've stopped renting the place. My parents have moved back to the East Coast, and now I'm full-time living in the van Hudson, which is my converted transit van that I've been working on since I got here. It was part of the whole plan. I bought it in Salt Lake City, Utah, drove it one way to LA, packed up all my stuff in my apartment, and drove it one way again to Fort Worth, Texas, and started working on it here just three years ago.
So you're just jamming in the van.
Yeah, I mean, it's great for what I'm doing right now. I do a lot of traveling by myself, solo touring, and as far as, you know, saving money on hotel rooms and flights, it's works out pretty great, and I get to explore a lot of different places, not just the major cities, but small towns in between, and all these highway miles that are really fascinating landscapes. It's been a wild ride.
Are you an outdoor dude, tree hugging kind
of? I love being outside. I just like hit a lot of national parks last year, and I really try to spend time with my feet or my shoes off,
yeah,
you know, whenever I can, whether it's the grass or the beach or anywhere like that. I even did a small little hike in Sedona in bare feet last year, on the rocks, which was a first for me. That's not normal for me, but I do love being outside and just like, I don't know, I definitely get a lot of ideas out there, and it's a little bit of a spiritual connection too. And
I've never been to Sedona, but I have a lot of people telling me it's my kind of town. I mean,
I think you'd like it.
I've spent some time in Santa Fe, of course, and also in San Miguel de Allende down in Mexico, and I love nature, you know,
sure,
and also love it when people can kind of tune out and turn off and kind of really get connected again to the earth. And
yeah. And that's something I felt like wasn't happening for me towards the end of my time in LA, partially because
LA, but it's really hard.
I mean, it was tough for sure. You know, I felt like the pressure cooker out there made me kind of a little bit better of an artist. It just made me like, you know, working within that competitive spirit and keeping it as an internal competitive spirit, not an external one. I mean, it's a good challenge out there for that, and not letting it get to you as far as the comparison game. But my last year in LA was also the kind of 2020 COVID year. And so that was really hard to even then feel connected to much.
Sure.
And I kind of had this vision in my head after getting out and driving into the desert and driving all over. Just the highways didn't have traffic for the first time, what felt like forever. And I was living by myself, and I just kind of wanted to get out in the open. I looked at maps and saw these smaller towns I'd never heard of, and just felt like I just want to drive these roads and bring my guitar and play songs. And that was a big reason why the van came into the picture.
Because you knew that that was an easy way for you to be adventured out.
Yeah, it felt like the way I could go do that, because otherwise the touring, especially from L.A., well, one, I felt almost bad every time I left my apartment and went out of town because it was so expensive. And I was like, I should just be here where I'm paying for this. Yeah. But, you know, to get out of L.A., just to get to the next major city, except for San Diego, it's like a solid 5-6 hour drive. And especially if you're talking about going east. And what I felt like, if you want to fly there, that's fine. But I wanted to figure out what was the stops along the way be, and what would that look like? And then I figured there's a whole country too. It's not just California.
Well, you know, just hearing you talk about all this, obviously you're a very centered person to be able to have all that time alone. I wish some more people could understand that, you know, until you're really comfortable with yourself and that you can see the world and be alone with yourself, you can't really give to anybody else. And I'm talking like that because there's a lot of young people that need to hear that. You know, we live in this world right now where everybody feels like they just have to be connected to somebody at all times.
And there's also, I mean, there's a lot of identity tying to people who are like bigger or more famous. You're so in celebrities' lives that you feel like there's a part of you in them. And I feel like I'm definitely more about trying to bring it all back, figure out, well, I'm in this body, I have this mind, I have this spirit, what can I do here? And just how can I get those three to coexist on some level? And it didn't totally click for me, I feel like, until I did have to spend all that time alone during COVID. And I think that's what made me more comfortable about going on the van adventure. And, you know, did nothing about this just by myself. There's been plenty of supportive people on the way, my family first and foremost, and all the friends that I've had, and, you know, music friends in LA and out here in Texas and all over. But you're right. There is a certain thing where if you're going to go on your own path, you better be comfortable with who's going on that path with you. And it's just you.
So when did you know? How did you know that this was your path?
Music in general came back to me in like a wild way out in L.A. I mean, I was grew up playing music. I was, you know, my brother played in my band in high school. My sister played in the band. My parents had some limited musical experience. But, you know, I was really the only one that was trying to take it somewhere. And then I got away from it when I went to college. I went to college at University of Maryland and studied accounting. I got a degree. I went to LA with a full-time job. But I kind of knew in my heart that something would click for me in the ocean out there or just in the air. And as the story goes, basically I had my car totaled and two of my laptops stolen right around Christmas and was stuck in my apartment and couldn't go anywhere. And I had a note in my phone from 2013 when I first visited LA to see if I would move there, of this music school in Hollywood. And all I had written down was the name of it, because I just remember passing it and was like, oh, I wonder what that is. And just put it in my phone, didn't look at it for over 4 years. It came back to me as I was looking through old stuff. I was just like, wonder what's that, you know, deal with that school. Mm-hmm. And I ended up just applying for it, not really telling anyone. They had like a certificate program, which I figured was just like a crash course in production and songwriting and design, just things I thought would be useful to know. And I got in, and it was a 6-month program, and I just decided I'm going to do that. So I decided I was going to quit my job. I told my parents, told everyone what I was doing, and did that school, drove for Uber a bit, and slowly but surely, I just kept wanting more. I kept wanting to write the next song. I kept wanting to play the next show and meet more collaborators, more friends, and just kind of engross myself in that part of me that had been, you know, stifled by myself for a number of years. And it just kept rolling. It was like a snowball. And along the way, that first album came about, produced that in LA. And then I don't think, this is a true thing. When I was getting ready to release that record in March 2020, in February, I was convinced, and from February to like 6 months prior too, I was convinced I wouldn't write a single other song. I was like, these eight are going to be the last ones, and I'm going to have to go back to work. It would be a nice little side quest. I just figured, you know, I was like, oh, this would be a nice side quest to talk about at the water cooler, you know, 6 years from now. Like, yeah, I tried it once and it didn't really work out, but it was fun. And I really thought I'd write 8 songs and that would be it. And then because the album was coming out March 27th, 2020, that was by that time now, 2 weeks, the world had been shut down. And it came out, and all the plans I thought I was going to have, like I was going to play shows and tour it and promote it, everything was kaput. And I was just like, it was like this weight lifted off my shoulders where all of a sudden I was like, oh, you put all this pressure on yourself to do this thing. The world said, screw you. You know, the world's going to do its thing, and no matter what you like or not. And I was like, okay, well, what do you want to actually do? The whole world shut down. Do you want to go back, or do you want to keep doing music? And I wanted to keep doing music.
That was the perfect time to say that.
Yeah, and I got that message, and songs started coming back to me. I was writing more and more. One of the songs we'll talk about later is the first song from this record that I wrote was out in the Mojave Desert about a month or two into COVID, and we'll talk about that when we play it later. But, you know, I just got out on the road and started writing songs and thinking about small towns and about the van. And I mean, you know, I just kept chasing. I just kept, you know, trusting my instincts.
Good for you that you did, you know, instead of stopping. But you know what we're sitting here talking about? Why don't you play something for me?
Yeah, I'd love to play a song. This song actually took shape on the same trip as Empty Seat. And it kind of is a bit about seeing a bunch of these small towns along the highways, popping into random places, seeing all the chains and all the buildings. And I don't know, just it came about from kind of going down a lot of those roads that I had thought about going down in LA that I finally got the chance to once the van was up and running. It's called It Ain't Right, and it's also off the record.
This is Tom Sless, It Ain't Right.
Small towns have all lost their flavor. Full court press from the big box chains. Mom and pops can't enforce their own laws or count on trickle-down rain. Your feet are sick of the treadmill. Your body burns through the pills. Your friends became invisible. Wonder when you will. Whoa, there used to be a beacon in the bay, a ray of hope for glory, or something else we used to claim. We sold ourselves the magic woven in that fabric, waving while the private jets take flight, always flying at half mast, crying it ain't right. Wake up, man, this ain't a daydream. Sleepwalking in a school hallway. Roll the dice, get a job, choose a vice. That's why you graduate, right? Right! The cops and robbers colluded. Stole the cookie jar and left no crumbs. Running ads, wiping blame off their hands, beating those election day drums. Whoa, there used to be a beacon in the bay, a ray of hope for glory, or something else we used to claim. We sold ourselves the magic woven in that fabric, but every oyster ain't got pearls inside. Flags always flying at half mast, crying it ain't right. Thank you. and newborn Sarah Jane. When she comes of age, we'll struggle to interpret being free, being brave. Call me an optimistic cynic. I wanna believe, still I can't comprehend. Are we building towards the future? Staring at the end. Whoa, there used to be a beacon in the bay, a ray of hope for glory, or something else we used to claim. We sold ourselves the magic woven in that fabric, oh, waving like a final kiss goodnight, always flying at half mast, crying it ain't right, it ain't right.
Now, you've done a lot of living for such a young guy to be able to write those kind of lyrics. And also, clearly, you're very in touch with what's going on in our world. And
try to be. You know, it's hard to be in touch and still stay above it in some sense.
Yeah, you know, life is about relationships. And so that's what I choose to bring my joy from, right?
I totally agree.
And so I'm not going to let somebody else steal my joy.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I try to bring and share my gift where I go, and that's music, or that's relation, or that's just seeing someone. I mean, you know, this is not a unique gift by any stretch, but this is what I feel like I can give. And if I do that at every step of the way, with every step or every person I meet along the way, then I think
See, because I was just sitting here thinking, I don't know, should he be a CPA? I mean,
I could crunch a number or two.
I bet you can. And you know what? You've got that going for you, because most of us out there that are doing music are not good with that. So, you're traveling on your own and in a van, you need to know how much money you need, how much you're spending, and where you're at.
It's cash basis.
Exactly. Well, honey, I'm really impressed. And man, what a voice, what a powerful voice. I don't think you ever worry about people hearing you, do you?
I'm kind of the same way.
If people don't know me, haven't met me yet, don't hear me sing. The first time I ever sang in a club in Dallas, I was just a kid, and you know, it was in the late 80s, and the lead singer, somebody had told him, hey, Maylee can sing, you ought to get her up on a tune. So he's like, okay, because the guy that told him, he knew, obviously, he knows that I could or couldn't. But I walked up to the stage, he goes, honey, don't be afraid of that mic. You just stick it right up on your voice. And I looked at him, I said, I don't think you want me to stick it right up on my voice.
Oh, I know, yeah, I sound
check. I'll be blowing you guys away.
Yeah, believe me.
We'll be in the red meter all night long.
6 inches is where I sound check from, just so I got control over that.
There you go. Well, obviously, that's a really killer, beautiful song. And I want to play another one called Staring Down Death.
Yeah.
I hope you haven't been staring down death, but I guess we all are, really.
I mean,
we're on this journey that's going to all end the same, right?
I think that, you know, this is a little provocative, but I do think life is mostly preparing for death. And I don't think that's like a bad thing. I think it's actually like getting ourselves to a position where we're ready to let go completely.
Yeah.
And that means let go of everything we've built and everything we've loved. And that's a challenge in and of itself. But I think the other side of that coin, it's the same coin. It's just like you fill your life up with as much as possible so that when you're letting go, you can let go knowing that's what you had, a full cup. And this song began as essentially like my attempt at writing like a little mantra or like a prayer of some kind. And it was going to be, in my head, at least, as I was like chasing the idea, it was going to be like a quieter, you know, like a song you could sing around a campfire to go to bed to. But knowing me, it didn't end up that way. And you know, it came out, and the guitar comes out after some words go down on paper, and I'm like, this is a rock song. And you know, you can't fight that.
No, you can't fight that.
So it's a rock prayer. That's what I've been calling it.
There you go. Well, Staring Down Death with Tom Sless, and we'll be right back right here on Texas Homegrown Music.
ain't no Moses, barely one good man. I'm only 2 feet on the concrete, spreading love with the Stardust Band.
First there was light, then came the mind. Stone deep singing round a campfire, burdened by the braids of time. Now we watch life like a TV show. Let it play in the background, praying that the good parts roll by slow. Don't take it all in. Become the line, spin round the self-propelling wheel with the spirit of the sacred child. Don't be scared, hold a stranger's hand till the stars come rescue you. Have the best damn time on land. We'll take it all in. Right now ain't coming again.
Tom, a little bit of time to talk about these people that helped him with this album, because you know it's a lot of work,
yes,
and a lot of, and it takes a village.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know that that I can just tell by your attitude that you like to give some love to people. So
absolutely, and there were so many people who helped and brought their talents to it. I want to just make sure I shout out, like, probably people who had all the most hours, and obviously one's Tim, who was there every step of the way. Ryan Glenn, engineering, production, so many other tasks and talents that he did along the way. My buddy Clifton Jennings Road, who's actually a friend of mine from LA, came in and did kind of an overseeing executive production on the whole project. It was a lot of time Tim and I and him spent really owning the messaging behind it and how to tie the songs together and just like keeping it true to form, not just sonically, but really like intention wise, which was huge for us. Zach Moffitt, who along the way, not just with the record production, but now with the rollout, has done a lot of video and photo work.
Cool.
And is a really talented guy. Russ Merck, who just helped me build the van, but there is no album, I don't think, without Russ helping me organize my thoughts all the time and keeping me focused on that, and just making sure that I don't crumble. So need that man. And also Bradley Precote, who mixed the record, and that's the last step of the whole thing. And you think it sounds decent when you send it to Brad, and then comes back, you're like, oh hell.
Now I know why that mastering thing is so important.
Exactly.
Right?
And yeah. He did both. He did mix and master on the record. And we had a bunch of sessions, you know, as he was moving studios too. And really, he killed it as well. So other names too. Everyone is going to, you know, everyone was a huge part of it. But
well, releasing a record is like having a baby. It's kind of been this part of you, and it's been, you know, you've been working it, and it's got to feel good to have it, to know, okay, this is the date. You're going to put it all out there. But I really love that that artists are really catching on to releasing lots of singles, up to that.
It's funny.
It's a different world now when people are just downloading songs and they're, you know, it's not like us going to the store again and grabbing those albums.
No, but I also like the single world is, and doing the promo cycle for all of them is, believe it's such a wild west, and I'm nowhere near cracking any code here, but it's, I think what's great about it, when you do have an album that's going to get its moment in the spotlight, and you know, all this, maybe there's a story behind it, or there's a message, or there's a personal anecdote that drove the album. But now you give that kind of spotlight to a number of songs on the record that, you know, they can have their own moment too. And the cool thing with the way that streaming is and the way that the album is, like, you can do singles after the record too for other songs.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of my plan, is that, you know, after the record comes out, I'd love to do some extra, you know, additional singles. They'll be already out, but they can get their own moment and just tell a little bit more of the story. I think if one thing hasn't changed is that songs have this ability, this magical ability to tell stories. And that's always been true. And I think with the singles, like I said, it's the social media and advertising, marketing aspect of it. Who knows how that all works? Truly.
There's no perfect way, dude.
No,
but just not.
But the opportunity to give your songs this this chance to shine on their own,
I
think
agree.
Is a beautiful chance too.
Well, so. I it's funny because I've got a band that I play with that's been with me for a long time, and I've done several records, and a lot of times I'll bring out a song and I'll say, hey, we're going to do such and such, and there'll be a couple of guys in the band that'll go, I don't think I've ever heard that song. And I'm like, what do you mean you've never heard that song? It's on this record, you know? And they're like, well, gosh, it's been so long since I listened to that. And I bring it out, and they're going, that's really cool. It's kind of like I own a retail store, and I tell my girls, we need to flip the store always. Because when you go into a place, it's like a grocery store. You go in, and you kind of have your path, and you look at the same things. When they switch it out, all of a sudden you see something. You're going, oh, my gosh, when did you get this? They go, oh, it's been here all along. You just never saw it. And so that you get an opportunity to pull something out and put the spotlight on it.
Yeah, and retell it if you need to. You know, it can have multiple different forms, and that's the cool part too. You get multiple chances to promote these things because it's all pretty fluid with the algorithm. It kind of is it's pretty cold-hearted. It doesn't really care what you did before, but that's kind of an opportunity because you can just do something different if you want.
So I want to ask you a question. How do you want people to perceive you? What is it that you want people to remember when they meet Tom Sless?
I want them to perceive me clearly, that's all. I mean, I just try to present as clearly and honestly and authentically as I can and just show you all my colors all at once, you know. On stage, obviously, for sure, but in just everywhere I go, I try to just do that. And you know,
you seem really comfortable in this situation. Do you get stage fright, or are you weirded out sometimes on stage?
You know, it's so funny. This is not something I remembered when I was telling the story how I got back into music. It's not something that came back to me at that time, but it was a memory that got triggered later on as I was getting on stage more and more. I remember when I was growing up, I started on trumpet. It was my first instrument. I did that in the school.
Okay.
And I was pretty good at the trumpet, played in the band and all that. But when it came time to do auditions, I would clam up, and, you know, sometimes it would be good enough still to get, the, you know, maybe the smaller part, parts. But the higher up I was going, it just was like clam up, especially when it was like there was these things called solo and ensemble, and it was they'd judge you and give you a score.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that I never did well at those. I'm just by myself. But and then I got my first guitar in eighth grade. I played my first show in like 10th or, you know, going into 11th grade or something like that. And that feeling never was a thing when I was on stage singing and playing guitar. And I wasn't great at guitar at first. I've gotten way better the last couple of years being in Texas, being around great guitar players than I did at any point. But something about the microphone and the stage and being able to look at people has never fazed me. And I didn't realize it until a couple of years into doing this back, you know, 18, 19, 20, 2020, you know, that the years. And I was like, oh,
wow, you don't have that feeling.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, and I, good, don't worry about it, you know?
Well, because you found your, you found where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, and so I don't really get too nervous. I mean, there's definitely maybe too much thought that goes into certain things when it could be nicer, just let go a little bit, like we were talking about. But, yeah, I just feel really comfortable on the path I'm on, and we'll see where it leads.
Well, you know, it's already led you to a lot of great places, Tom.
Right, so, here, this studio.
You know, and also into the lives of a lot of people that are going to hear this today, and on and on and on. Well, we're going to play Vultures. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, the song is the first one that I think was like the earliest song written for the record. And it's came all from this morning that I had back in, it's like roughly April, late April 2020. Maybe early May, you know, 4 or 5 weeks into being locked down in LA, was living alone in my apartment. I was working full time remotely. And so like the days were long and then the nights were longer. And I was getting like cabin fever. You know, we weren't seeing each other, you know, people weren't hanging out. So I was mostly really truly by myself, try to go for walks to get out of my head. But it just came to the point where it was like a Friday night, the work week had ended. 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, I like couldn't really go to sleep. I went to sleep for like 3 hours, woke up at like, you know, dawn, you know, 3-4 in the morning. It was like, I just got to get out of here. I just got in my car and drove. And I didn't know where I was going. I knew roughly the roads I was taking. And one of them was north of Santa Clarita, headed towards the Mojave Desert called the Sierra Highway. And I think it's technically Route 14 maybe. And I just took it. I just, you know, knew my way a little bit around, had my little sedan at the time and drove it up there. And as I'm kind of coming up into the mountains there, I got to a point where the road turned and there was this little overlook that overlooked the whole Mojave Desert Valley, like Palmdale kind of area or Lancaster area. And I just pulled off because I could feel that the sun was starting to rise and it was cold. It was like April in the desert is, and up high, I was in my pea coat or whatever, I was freezing. And watching the sunrise over the desert, and it really felt like the world was like expanding for the first time, and I was like breathing in and just taking it all in, and I felt so refreshed and grounded for the first time in a number of weeks. And I just stood there for a few moments, got back in the car, kept on driving into the desert more, and I just started, you know, having words come to my head about the sunrise on Sierra Highway and about how I didn't want these vultures to get me, all these vultures that were just kind of trying to, you know, and it started to take shape as who these vultures are, really, and that kind of takes shape in the song as it came out. But what the song is, it's about those vultures that are coming to get you and just recognizing sometimes you just got to get up, get out, get gone when, you know, it's feeling like you're all tied in. And I feel like there's a whole world out there and there's plenty of people out there who can love you and make you feel at home. And that's kind of the beginning of the origin of the van and the travel and the getting to Texas.
Are you sure we won the war? We're all game. Seems we lost a little more. Now the vultures have the flow, and I can't stop them. Books and the news can all be bought. So can I even trust my thoughts? So where the fear of our fate dissolves in an instant. And the vultures are non-existent. Sunrise on Sierra Highway, higher plane when the whole world flips sideways.
Blue sky ride.
Cool dude Tom is, and anybody that can venture out in their van and tour like that on their own for months at a time, boy, I tell you, I'm a little jealous, I think, because I don't know that I really want to be alone for that long. At the same time, I kind of like being alone, especially if I'm out in beautiful country, and we've got so many great places out here in not only Texas, but all across our country that I just still want to see. I still haven't seen the Grand Canyon. I've seen it from the air, but I've not seen it from the ground. So I want to do that. And I also want to tell all of you, thank you so much for coming out every week and listening to these shows and downloading the songs. I get nice little notes from people every once in a while, and it makes me feel really good to know that you guys appreciate great music coming out of Texas. Anybody that can identify with Texas and Texas music, I love having them on the show. So if there's somebody that you guys have heard that you'd like me to consider, shoot me an email, Maylee at Texas Homegrown Music. You can check out our website, TexasHomegrownMusic.com, and we are so pumped about TMR 28. We've got some really great lineup this year, and Female Friday with Bree Bagwell headlining, lots of great bands, and I don't know, I'm just a big Lucas Nelson fan, and I've really been trying to get them to get him out, and finally we got Lucas Nelson on the ticket for Friday night. And I'm really looking forward to that for sure. And I saw Josh today, and we've got so many great bands. They're adding every week, so you guys listen up every Friday. They're going to give you drops of names every week for new artists that we have on the stages. So thanks to all of our sponsors, and certainly Burris Injury Law and Guitar Sanctuary for making this possible. And you guys are the ones that make it possible for me for always listening. So peace out, everybody. Remember, to love life, you've got to... you got to be a part of it, you know. You just got to be a part of it, and the more you give, the more you get. And I'm a big believer in that. So we'll see you guys next time right here on Texas Homegrown Music.